Well, it's been 2 months since I've been in the position, and before joining the office of the SG, I was working on issues related to fossil fuel deproliferation, namely a group called Polluters Out, and education around mobilizing young people through a mechanism called Fossil Free University. And so part of the Secretary General's acceleration agenda is increasing and putting effort towards phasing out of fossil fuels. So that is one of the roles that I'm involved in, and that's one of the issues that I'm pushing as his advisor. And then the other thing is the SG is also working on including and making sure that human rights are part of our future and the developments on the climate crisis. And so my background is in research on human rights regarding climate change, and in particular, the rights of present and future generations.
UN Secretary General is very keen on taking youth on board, and we've seen him like on every forum. He encourages youth. But do you think that beyond the United Nations system, youth voices are being heard?
You know, this is a really good question, and I'm often asked, why youth, why young people, you know, like, and the real answer is young people are the biggest stakeholders in the emergency that we're facing. Not only stakeholders, but they will become victims to this crisis if we don't do anything. And my personal opinion is, as far as the United Nations is concerned, it is wonderful to have young voices and advisors and council members within the advisories, but more than that, to take their requests and asks into question. I think it's wonderful to have youth advisors and young people in spaces like the United Nations, but there has to be more than that. Young people aren't just a quota to fulfill to show that one cares about young people. What we are offering, in fact, especially in relation to the climate crisis, is solutions. Many of us, through our advocacy, have become experts and professionals in the fields that we are working with, not because anybody taught it to us, but because out of urgency, out of necessity. And the role that young people play, you can see it in the Secretary General's speeches. You can see it in his acceleration and also his urgency around the climate crisis. It is because of the young people that were advising him for the past 3 years. That has an influence, and that influence has an ability to change hearts and minds of so many world leaders. We need advisory councils in the most highest level, and not just young people that are pushing and furthering and asking for a change for the better. So they need to be in places like the business sector. They need to be in places like the governments. And I will reiterate, not just as quotas or fulfillments or youth washing, but rather as important stakeholders alongside the other stakeholders. And this is because so many of us, myself included, when issues and when the climate crisis and when disasters occur, we are asked to sit on the stage and give solutions alongside professionals, alongside people who have been elected and who are paid to do this. And at that point, we are expected to not only be equal in our understanding, equal in our solutions, and equal in our knowledge, we are also expected to be equal in our consultation. And that's why young people need to be taken seriously.
So when we talk about fossil fuels and carbon emissions, COP conferences on climate change are very important. And you have been to COP26 in Glasgow, Scotland, and COP27 in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. Do you think that these conferences are making any difference towards the green agenda?
So one of the requirements before joining the Secretary General's advisory group is for us to be honest. And the SG asks us of that, and so I'm going to be honest with you as well. The UNFCCC was formed to help mitigate the climate crisis, as was the Kyoto Protocol, as was the Paris Climate Agreement. And they are all measurements and benchmarks for keeping our world and planet healthy and sustainable. I think each year that we go into the Conference of Parties and forget the original purpose of the Conference of Parties, we are straying further from that goal. And I think they are helpful. In particular, for a country like Pakistan last year, the Loss and Damage Finance Facility was a lifeline. But that said, it has also become a place for industry, private businesses, and certain governments to use it as a platform to speak and only speak. And the more speeches we have, the more beautiful words we have, the more postulating and rubbing hands we have, the less solutions we have towards a climate crisis and the less time we have to fix the climate crisis. And so I think in terms of negotiations and what it has been able to achieve, I think it has been able to achieve a lot, the COPs, but I worry that it has become the only and beacon of postulating and articulating, but not real action.
Do you think that the sustainable development goals are still a way forward? When we are seeing that the industrial countries, the global north, and the big businesses, they're not paying the heed they are required to.
The SDGs were a first step. It was an effort to get private sector to change their portfolios and their metrics to further consider the environment. But it is my opinion that we are at a point where SDGs are worn like pins by private companies of we have met this many sustainable development goals, but that doesn't translate into their impact on the environment because they are still engaging in proliferation of fossil fuel. They are still engaging in treating the environment like a toilet. They are still engaging in greenwashing. And the SDGs were a wonderful step forward, and I think they still need to be taken on by groups that aren't using the SDGs. But there's a lot further that we can go, and there's a lot further that business can go, because it doesn't just begin and end at the product that you are using. The human component is an essential part of it. The human rights component is an essential part of it, because human rights equals to environmental rights. And if we discard those and say that our product is green, then it is not really green, because humans are part of the environment as well.
When we talk about radical things, we heard that you are a poet as well. And you describe your poetry as a form of quiet protest. Mm-hmm. At COP27, we saw you reciting your poetry in protests and in different gatherings. And those were really powerful words. Before we end, could you please recite some of your poetry?
Sure. Poetry has been a mechanism of quiet protest. So I started doing that because when all else doesn't work and all you have is a pen and paper, then you should use your pen and paper. This is an excerpt from one of my poems called On Another Panel About Climate. They ask me to sell the future, but all I've got is a love poem. And the last few lines are this. For what it's worth, I do this again. Gamble on humanity 100 times over. Commit to life, unto life, as the trees fall and take us with them. I'd follow love into extinction.